Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. Eventually church services are really going to start up again in this country. But guess what? Over the weekend, Roger Goodell started early. Roger Goodell got religion awfully late in the church service, but at least he got it about protest in his league. And guys, it was the most significant mea culpa I can ever remember from a big-time sports commissioner in this country. And now, guys, maybe he can help get Colin Kaepernick a job.
Interesting you mentioned that, Mike, because Chad Finn at the Globe today had a very eloquent pitch for the Patriots to be the landing place for Colin Kaepernick. It is unprecedented, Mike, because there hasn't been a need for this kind of thing too often, at least since baseball needed to offer a complete mea culpa for the exclusion of black players from 1884 to 1947. That would require a major mea culpa. But since then, since Jackie Robinson took the field in Brooklyn on April 15th, 1947, this is the most needed type of thing. Where do we go? All right. So he's said it, it's stood out there. Oh, it did draw a response from an interesting observer, did it not, gents? Hint, hint.
Well, yeah. Donald Trump didn't waste any time in reacting to it and sent out a tweet saying, could it be even remotely possible that in Roger Goodell's rather interesting statement of peace and reconciliation, and it's interesting that he called it rather interesting, he was intimating that it would now be okay for players to kneel, capital letters, or not to stand for the national anthem, thereby disrespecting our country and our flag, question mark. That's it. You know, he didn't come out and say, you know, I think everybody knows his position, what it would be if it happened. But now, of all the sort of depressing things that have happened, this is one of them. That this tweet comes out, and I have this feeling of like, oh God, we're going to start litigating this in the court of public opinion again, whether you should kneel or not for a protest when we're in June and the first football game isn't until September, and now it's going to be the president against the head of the league. Mike, maybe I'm just cynical, and that comes with age, but I'll believe it when I see it. It's June. I think that this was a statement that Roger Goodell had to make and felt that he had to make. He literally made the statement almost verbatim based on what the players insisted that he make. And that is basically what's happened with a lot of large-scale organizations, be they sports teams, corporations, coaches, individuals, mayors, all the rest of it. And this is the mood of the moment. I'm not sure it's going to last. Things change in America. 2 weeks ago, all anybody was talking about was COVID-19. And then over the past 7 or 8 days, it's possible to believe that COVID-19 went away because of the attention that has been focused post George Floyd. I think he's on the record for having said it now. But don't you guys also agree that with no fans in the stands, the whole presentation of the national anthem and all the rest of it is going to be different anyhow. And so I could very easily see players all across the board kneeling, holding arms, and without having anywhere near the reaction that we had before, because you're not going to have 50,000 people in the stands watching them. Or to compare it with, or to have other people standing, when it's just going to be the athletes, it's just going to be the players. So I think that the dynamics of it change because of where we are right now. Don't you guys agree?
he's not going to back off now. He can't back off. He's on the record, okay? He's not going to back off. So the games start up, and eventually they start putting people in the stands again. And we could have a whole nother discussion that day about why we need the national anthem before sports events right. in this country, because to me, that's like politics and religion, okay? Right. You can't pray in public schools, but you can play the national anthem. Okay, but forget all that, okay? What happens when half the team kneels? Is all the whole team going to be expected to kneel? Is this going to touch off a whole nother conversation where the guys who don't kneel have to defend right. themselves to the guys who do kneel? So I
agree.
That's
a really
agree.
Good point, Mike. That's a really interesting point, because the pressure isn't just on Roger Goodell now to live up to his words. He's the voice of the league. It's now on everybody within the team. Is Drew Brees going to kneel now? Is all the guys who said, I'm sorry, that's not my issue, that's not my fight, that's not the way I want to express it.
Drew Brees is going to kneel on both knees.
He's going to.
Right.
Then it's going to become a team kind of thing. It's going to become, are you with us or you're against us?
Yep.
And this is going to
yep.
start to divide a lot of teams, because, Mike, I've said it before, Bob, I've said it before, you have not converted someone just because you've silenced them. And I don't believe that every individual in this country suddenly has the perspective of an African-American who has been harassed and violated and been the victim of violence of a white police officer. I just don't. People aren't empathetic that way. They might say they are, they might tweet that they are, but in their hearts, if they haven't gone through it, it's not the same. And so you're going to create a new sense of, now it's all or nothing kind of things with a lot of NFL teams, I predict. We're all going down in the knee, or the person who doesn't will now get. It's funny, the scrutiny will probably, you're right, Mike, probably now be on the person who doesn't.
Yep.
But I don't no know, question. Bob, where do you think this is all going?
That's a very good point. Excellent point, because Mike hit upon the ultimate answer. The issue which will never be addressed in this country was the whole idea of the presence of the anthem at all our events and sporting events and even other events that we've gone to where there's no real need or purpose for having the anthem, but it's too late. That ship sailed, that barn door closed, whatever metaphor you want to use, decades and decades ago. Okay. Boy, no, you made an excellent point. I'm listening. I'm thinking, I'm running this through my head as you're speaking, Mitch, and I'm thinking, it is. It's going to be a very, very, very divisive.
It's going to divide locker rooms in a different way, Bob.
It would be nice to think. You know, I'm listening, and Mitch is so right about silence, and it doesn't mean assent all the time. I mean, it would be nice to think that, especially given the way that the entire Brees thing played out, who he was, what he said, how what the reaction is, what the counter reaction is, but where we are with him and where he is, we think legitimately at this point, I want to believe he's sincere that he realized he was wrong. Okay. They didn't get it at first. Now he seems to totally get it. But the point is that it'd be nice to think that all the non-African Americans, would get the message and understand and would be willing to sign on and would not be subscribing to any theory that any of this kneeling has anything to do with the flag or the military, that it never did and never will. It's not the point. That is the entire point of all this. But it would be nice to think they all get it, but as you imply, it's naive to think that they all would get it, and then what would be their reaction? Oh boy, yeah.
And how about NASCAR? How about NASCAR? Okay, now Trump can go after the National Football League, and maybe he can turn people against the National Football League, and maybe this will help him play to his base and hurt their ratings a little bit. But how about when Bubba Wallace puts on a black T-shirt with "I Can't Breathe"? Okay, and NASCAR pauses before a race. Okay, and you've got NASCAR drivers, and again, it's to put it mildly, that sport and that audience don't always seem as Mitch ecumenical, perhaps, as some of the other sports. So
diverse, Mike.
There is something happening here, and again, if you don't recognize where history's going, it will run your ass over. It will run your ass over. And you know, Mitch, you guys have heard me just talk about this in various instances over the years. Okay. If you don't get out ahead of a story, and Goodell didn't. Goodell caught up the other day. But that story will run you over. So you better, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that everybody's right in this conversation. But I was talking to Dave Roberts, my friend who manages the Dodgers, yesterday, and he said, yes, we need to continue to have a conversation about race in this country, but this is a point where the white Americans have to do a little more listening and the black Americans get to do a lot more talking. And you know what? I kind of saw that at the NASCAR race yesterday.
This is the mood of the moment. America is a fast moving train. And if there's some other big story that comes along, I know that doesn't feel like right now, but it will. You know, attention will change. Look, we've gone through this with Colin Kaepernick. We've gone through it with the NFL already pledged $800 million, I think it was, as a monetary means of trying to deal with racism. There are corporations now, from Pepsi to, you know, GM to all across the board, who are literally giving millions of dollars to either Black Lives Matter organizations or related to them or directly to them or to other things. Okay, this has been going on for a while. The Minnesota State Police, whoever governs them, have made changes in their policies, which, thank God, you know, it was so late in coming, and I would love to see all 50 states do the same thing. The officers were arrested. They'll have their trial, you know, and we'll see where they fit. This will move along. And at some point, you're up against basically saying we need to legislate the way that people think. And that's not humanly possible. And so it'll reach a point at which you say, well, what more are we supposed to do other than hope that people get the message? And that's where the NFL will then, you know, have to face what it's going to do next. Because I don't think, Mike and Bob, that just kneeling at the national anthem is going to be satisfying to the African-American players who are being the loudest about this. I don't think they're going to say, okay, great, so now you're fine with kneeling. Cool. We accomplished what we wanted to do.
No, that was always a symbol.
There's many more things to be done. So then the question becomes, okay, what exactly can the NFL do?
Just a couple of things to touch on what you said. And by the way, I should have pointed this out. I was talking about the setting of what Bubba Wallace did. He is an African American, okay? So right, I was talking about the setting and not who he was specifically. That's one thing.
Right.
Two, Mitch, when you're talking about changing the way people think, okay, what do you think? And I'm not saying everybody's changed their thinking on this, and people are as dug in as ever. But don't you think the country changed the way it thought about same-sex marriage? Because I think it did. And it helped when Joe Biden kind of took the lead and kind of dragged Obama along with him. But I think people can change the way they look at things. It's never going to be enough to satisfy people of color, and nor should it be, because what's been going on has been going on for centuries. There was a time in this country 30 years ago when they were way more opposed to it. They didn't find it abhorrent. All I'm saying is you can change people's minds. That's all.
Yeah. You can educate
over time.
In certain matters, you know. But in the end, you know, the answer to the question that Mitch was posing about what can the NFL actually do, you know, it seems that one of the things I've been, you know, getting the message from things I've been reading from prominent black authorities, if you will, is that there's money to be given to different causes, the different aspects. In other words, there's different ways to spend money that would help, whether it has to do with addressing law enforcement or whatever. I'm just saying what they need is a dialogue with the appropriate people, whoever.
Well, I want to ask you guys a question. my last comment on money is, the problem with giving money is that you give it and then it's damn hard to figure out where it gets spent and how it was gets spent and how effective it was and all the rest. That requires, you know, literally watching week by week where the money goes and the effect. And the NFL doesn't do that kind of reporting. It gives and then it moves on and it says, look, we gave. But I want to ask you a bigger question. First, a word from our friends at Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today. Okay, here's a question I wanted to ask. Colin Kaepernick, directly or indirectly, keeps getting thrown into this mix. And, you know, from people saying, now do you understand what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for, to Colin Kaepernick needs to be on a team. Okay, do we believe that a team would take Colin Kaepernick at the urging, at the private urging of Roger Goodell? Let's imagine a scenario, all right? If this is fictional, but let's imagine it. There's a conference call with a handful of owners. Look, guys, this isn't going to go away. We're not going to make the steps we need to until we get Colin Kaepernick back into the league. Who's willing to take him? I need one of you guys to take him on your team. Well, you know, Roger, what are we going to do with him? He's going to be a distraction if he comes to the team. Yeah, I know. What were you going to do? We have to make him a starter? No. Just, you know, get him on your roster. Whatever. So the conversation concludes and somebody decides to step up because, A, they decide to step up, and B, they need a quarterback. Yeah. Okay, whoever has the weakest quarterbacking situation. So they put Colin Kaepernick on a team where they offer him a job. What happens next? Walk me through, like, what happens next? What are the dynamics when he's now on a team? What's the pressure to get him to start? How often are people running to him for comments on national issues? Do teammates embrace him if he's basically on the team as a symbol as opposed to a player? Because I don't even know what his football acumen or ability is after 3 or 4 years out of the game. I have no idea. But that's my question to you guys. Discuss.
Well, that's the ultimate problem is, if you were to take him on, is what's he got left? It's so long removed from when he was last playing that. One thing I'm just going to, I don't have the answer, but I'm going to throw this one out there. One thing that would help mitigate the situation better than in any other quote unquote normal times is that the media access, the media scrutiny, the media pressure, the day to day, it will not be there because we're entering into a whole new phase of media coverage, which is to say almost nothing in terms of direct contact. There won't be that kind of day to day imaginable. But you imagine you can just see the media scrum, picture the scene, guys, with that one head buried in a sea of microphones up to his face. That will not happen now. That's not because it's not logistically going to happen. So I'm just thought that would make things a little bit easier and for the team to deal with it simply on their own terms without worrying about the prying eyes and tongues of the outside world the way it would have been in any normal circumstance.
Mitch, if he gets signed as a backup quarterback, guess what? He's going to play. Look at the National Football League over the past few years. He's going to get to play. While you guys were talking amongst yourselves, I looked up, you know who the Lions backup quarterback is? Chase Daniel, okay? Now, Stafford can get hurt, but do you think Colin Kaepernick's a better football player than Chase Daniel? I sure as hell do. Okay, so
I'm not sure NFL coaches agree with you on that. I don't know. But then, I don't know. He'll be 33 this fall, and I don't know when was the last time he played?
I think 16 years.
4 years?
He's the same age as Chase Daniel, okay? And by the way, if they actually think that, if they have talked themselves after what they saw with their own eyes, and it's not like he's gotten, you know, just 33 is, you know, we got a guy who's going to be 42 when he starts with the Tampa Bay Bucks this fall.
Yeah, but
okay?
Mike, it's not 33 coming off another team. It's 33 not having played since 2016.
I don't think he's forgotten. Mitch, I'll die on this hill, okay? I don't think he's forgotten how to play football. I'm not saying he's going to be what he is, but when I look at the tomato cans who are backup quarterbacks in this league and I see what happens to teams when those tomato can backup quarterbacks are forced to play, I will submit that any coach who looks me in the eye and tells me he thinks that Colin Kaepernick is not better than a lot of those guys is full of shit.
Well, they can except that just the time factor. I mean, you know, for long periods of time in this discussion a year, we knew, you know, at first you would say, you know, he's one of the best 33 quarterbacks in the country, in the world. And then, you know, he's one of the best 65. And is he now one of the best 97? I mean, that's what we're wondering about now with regard to this real issue about the time factor since he last played. I mean,
then you have the contract issue. You know, if he gets offered a backup quarterback's contract And his agent says he left the game as a starting quarterback. Oh, yeah. And that pay is an insult. The contract offer will become a national story.
Fire his agent at that point.
But the contract offer will become a story, Mike, because everything about this guy will become a story. Oh, here's how much money they're offering him versus this guy got paid versus Chase Daniels' offer. Or whatever. I mean, that'll become a story.
There's a lot of stories that'll be far down the list. I actually think that is one of them. I think Kaepernick will absolutely be ready, figuratively and maybe literally, to take a haircut to get the chance to be on the field again, which is, you know, apart from his position on social justice, that has been his quest since he was essentially blackballed by his sport.
Do you think it'll happen?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think it'll take him for this season?
I think so, yeah. I actually do. But, I mean, that may be crazy optimism on my part. But I don't – by the way, I was thinking when you're talking about that conference call, yeah, they'd be able to keep that private for – how long do you think? Like, Mitch, what do you think? Just to give me a number, 6 minutes, 7 minutes yeah. before they leaked it to Adam Schefter or, you know, pick your guy, okay? Listen, I'm hopeful. I'm a hopeful person, even now in this country, that we're going to see this guy get back on the field because he never, for 5 minutes, deserved the death penalty for what the football death penalty for what he did.
No.
Well, remember, you don't have to convince masses to do this. You've got to convince one out of 32 people. Okay, one out of 32 owners. Now, have those 32 owners been moved to a new place of mental recognition and empathy by what's going on? Or are those 32 owners more inclined to Donald Trump's reaction to what's going on? Why didn't we bring the National Guard in? It's only about 32 people, Mike. There's nobody else makes this decision. Yep. 32, got one of 32 guys. You know, we all know a lot of the 32. Is there one that runs to the front of your mind as forward thinking and mea culpa oriented, and we need to, you know, make a move here, and I'm going to be the one to do it? Who pops to mind?
I'll give you a name, and it probably won't happen, but John Mara is the son of Wellington Mara. And Wellington Mara, about 1,000 years ago, was the guy who raised a hand and said, we are going to share the television money in this sport equally. It was one of the most momentous decisions, and he got them to go along because he was saying, we're going to treat Green Bay the way we treat New York. And that money being spread around is one of the reasons why this league has been what it's been. So doing the right thing is in his DNA. Will he be the one? No. I don't think Robert Kraft, Bob, is going to be the one, considering his friendship with this guy. And
well,
Mitch,
That's under great scrutiny and attack at this point in this town, that friendship with Trump. And the question's been raised just about how his own players are going to feel now as this thing continues. But you're right, that's a very complicating factor with regard to the Patriots. But they do fit the description of
somebody who could use them, right.
It's got to be a team that needs something. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
That's clear. They answered that.
Let me throw out a couple possible. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, before we continue this conversation, a word from our friends at Harry's. One of the best things about recording a podcast is you don't need to worry about your hair. Having a bad hair day, which I think many of us are these days, just throw a baseball cap on and you're good to go. But what about your facial hair? Even with all that's going on in the world today, I like to keep a clean shave. I know my wife enjoys that too. And with Harry's, I know that's exactly what I'll get each time. A smooth, clean shave that leaves my face looking fresh. I'm always amazed by how quick I can accomplish a shave with Harry's razors. It's one pass and done. No going back over areas again and again. And the thing that I love the most about Harry's is how convenient it is. High quality, durable blades delivered right to my doorstep. And for as little as, listen to this, $2 a blade. You can't go wrong. So save money, stay home by having Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep by going to harrys.com/reporters and see what they got. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the United States so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/reporters. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. I'm telling you, these people are the real deal. Go to harrys.com/reporters to start shaving better today. So I just wanted to ask you a question, Mitch. I've come up with an idea. I wanted to know what you think about it. If Trump gets really pissed at Goodell, do you think he should call out the National Guard?
Okay, here's a couple names. You know, this is just an exercise. The Rooney family in Pittsburgh. Been on, you know, the forefront of what's good for the league.
Yeah, they're like the Maras. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Arthur Blank in Atlanta. You know, he went through a whole lot already down there with Michael Vick and I don't know him well, but for some reason I think that he seems oriented towards what's for the good of the game and African Americans. I could be wrong. You know, there aren't a lot of candidates when you look through
funny,
some
Mitch,
of some
it's
of them.
Funny in Miami, you'd think that Steve Ross might consider it, except he held a big fundraiser.
But he's kind of loaded at quarterback.
No, not only that, but he's got an African-American general manager. He's got Brian Flores as his coach. So he's certainly the kind of colorblind we wish more guys were in the league, except he held that big fundraiser for Trump last summer.
Yeah. Well, they also are kind of thick at the quarterback position there, you know, trying to bring along Tua. So, you know, from a logical point of view as a backup, I think their backup situation is set. Unless you're saying Tua's a starter and we get rid of the other guy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is still there.
Yeah, who seems more likely to start games at the beginning of the season than Tua does. So you have to consider that as well. The Raiders, I mean, it's still the Davis family, you know.
And Mark Davis has had a lot to say on this subject over the last couple of weeks. He has, you know. Yeah. And I don't even know who their backup. No, they just signed Mariota.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's much. Cross them off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, let's switch to basketball. Let's switch to basketball because, you know, right now, and by the way, I'm telling you, baseball is going to figure this out probably this week. Guys, I believe
they're doing well better, Mike.
No, Bob, I'm not going to issue a Joe Namath-like guarantee. This is going to work out. There's going to be a season. But basketball, they are going to have a season. And Mitch and Bob, there's a lot of interesting conversation going on, not just about how it's going to look, but even, Mitch, you were talking about this before we started today, what the rosters might look like.
Yeah. Well, there's two things to consider as you start to look at the NBA coming back, and first of all, you got to go back and study where were we when we left off and who's in a good position. But not just that. Now there's some conversation that they may expand the rosters to allow for a COVID-19 absence, because let's face it, there aren't that many guys on a basketball team, and if two of your guys who are key suddenly go out, well, you saw what happened with Golden State when the injury bug hit them in the playoffs, and basically, you know, you're done. And so if teams can go up to 17 or 18 or 19, there's going to be a scramble for available guys to sign for, you know, a 6-week contract to try to fill out the roster that could very well tilt the balance of power in the whole thing. Because, you know, the other thing to consider is who is strong now that everybody is healthy, assuming that, you know, they get through their training camps without injuries. Because, you know, one of the reasons they wanted to have the 8 games that are going to be insignificant and meaningless. And, you know, I feel for teams like the Phoenix Suns and, you know, who have to come out there and play 6 games out of the thing. Within a couple of days, they're probably mathematically eliminated, and they have to be holed up in humid Orlando for, you know, 5-6 weeks to have no significance, not even a draft order change, because that's already set. But the reason that they were thrown to the wolves like that is because the Lakers and the Clippers and the teams that everybody expects to be there want to have games where they can play without really playing hard and get back into basketball shape, as opposed to having your first game be, you know, a life or death playoff game. But injuries are going to be a huge factor. But who do you guys think is best set up now that everybody supposedly is healthy for this run, or who could benefit from adding, you know, a few more players onto their
roster? LeBron James is my first thought, Mitch. Bob, I don't know what you think. LeBron James is my second thought, and LeBron James is my third. This rest for him at his age, Bobby, it's fresh legs when this thing starts up again. Come on.
Yes, the other one in the East, clearly the X factor become the 76ers with the return of Simmons. They would have been forced. They would have been forced to play into the playoffs without him, and he should be okay. Assuming he's okay, assuming he's had the time to recuperate.
Right.
That's they're the Eastern big one, I think, in terms of.
And guess what, Bob? I just thought, no more load management. Mitch and Bob, no more load management.
Yeah. So I think that's the one in the East is the what they're going to be. Now, the one thing that's interesting about them, more than any other team that's going to be left in the tournament, quote unquote, is that they had this phenomenal home record, which now will be totally irrelevant in terms of home court advantage. There will be no such thing for anyone, but they had only lost two games at home all year. And no one, that was by
you
far
know,
the best
Bob,
in the
that,
league.
That raises a really interesting question. Let me ask you guys. Which of these teams do you think is best suited, temperament-wise, to play in a vacuum? Because I do think that that matters. You know, when teams are really good at home, they're relying on a certain energy from the fans. Nobody's going to have that now. You're going to hear the basketball bounce. You're going to hear the sneakers squeak. You're going to hear guys calling out where you're supposed to go and help and who's got a switch. You're going to hear all that. It's a YMCA gym. Is one team more oriented to that? Is there a characteristic that makes you better?
I'll be honest. I wish I were better prepared to answer that question by scrutinizing the rosters. I wish I were. That's a wonderful question, and I can't answer it. I could answer it Thursday.
Hey,
I don't know,
Bob and
that's
Mitch.
A good one.
Bob and Mitch, if you've ever gone down to the West 4th Street Playground in New York City, as I have, okay, and seen those games, or you know, I know that there's some people go to the Rucker League games. I don't think that's going to be a factor. Once they start keeping score, I think that's all that matters to these guys. I do.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're both. I mean, you're both right. I mean, I'm just thinking about the home court thing and what it really is. And of course, there's been actually people trying to do studies, legitimate studies, you know. And I'm a little wary of some of these scientific studies of things that involve human relations and human emotion. But I just go back to what somebody whose opinion on basketball I always respected, a guy named Larry Bird, and his explanation as to why the home court mattered, and it's back and seconded by Bill Walton, a couple guys know a little bit of basketball, and it is not anything to do with intimidating the opponents. It's nothing to do with that, although occasionally that could be true. The Rockets in '86 were Exhibit A, but it's about the stimulus you get to do something to respond to those, please that home crowd, that they do give you energy. They do. You used the word energy, Mike. They do. I thought one of you guys did. They do give you energy. That is what it's about. It's not about intimidation. So it's going to be, but it's
no
gonna,
more home court advantage.
No,
Bob.
That's one thing.
And no refs being influenced or intimidated, Mitch, by the roar of the crowd. And that's an interesting conversation, actually.
I used to call Mike subconscious crowd orchestration. And I do believe that's what it was. And we've seen examples of it countless times in the
SCO. There's pills for that now, Bob.
And nobody should stand at the free throw line and be distracted by any waving fingers, foam fingers or anything like that. There's no excuse for missing a free throw now when you step up there. But I let me ask you one other question. But before, one more word from our friends at Geico.
Okay, this is a 30-second commercial. And I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
my take on who's favored in this is who can hit the pedal the fastest when they come back and just turn this into a six-week season. You know, we've talked many times about getting hot at the right time during any sports season, but a basketball season, you're starting to play well at the end of the season and really gelling and coming together. You know, we all see teams that at the halfway point don't look like they have anything, and then all of a sudden they turn it on at the end of the season, just get on a roll, and they go very far, maybe all the way to a championship. This here is basically, minus the eight games to start, this is that season. And so, you know, I look at teams like, okay, with like Milwaukee. Okay, there we all know as Giannis goes, they go. If he's healthy, he's fine. He's not tired. He's way younger than LeBron. Can he just literally come out and start at 80 miles an hour and kick it up to 100 miles an hour and carry through those 6 weeks and just have a single person tournament, as you call it, Bob, that's not possible to do if you had to play 82 games prior to and minutes have to be measured. Does youth count more in a micro season like this because they can just go without stopping?
I don't know. I mean, I think Mike's point about the rejuvenation and the legs of LeBron is equally important. I was thinking about Milwaukee. All I want to say about them is there is no reason to think, there's no technical reason to think that they can't just pick up where they left off unless there was some emotional reason. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're alluding to, the maturity there. You know, are they a mature team? We know they're a talented team, no question. Are they a mature enough team? That's interesting. I don't know what role, if any, in this discussion, any of the coaches are going to play. And maybe we're going to find out what coaches are best suited to adapt to something like this, which we probably will. I think that's a great X factor that we have no idea how it will come into play.
And Bobby, I may have spoken too quickly on load management because they're going to be playing like every other day, right?
Yeah, that's it. Right, they're right. They're going to be.
I mean, we haven't seen a schedule, right?
There are already allusions that they may need the dreaded 4 out of 5. They're going to back the backs, which they tried to avoid. Oh, it's the only way you're going to be able to compress the schedule is to have.
All the things that you've seen in your basketball life, okay, think about this. One of the big things that influenced a season and affected a season was the late night plane ride, getting into the next city at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's all gone now. They just go see Mickey and Minnie for breakfast, and then they go play.
They have the character breakfast.
No, it's going to be.
This character breakfast, you know, go ahead. You stop. That character breakfast is a staple of American life.
I loved it. I took my nephews there year after year. We would go downstairs. The characters came over. True story. Slight deviation. I once was at the character breakfast, and a staff member came up to me and said, "Excuse me, you're Mitch Albom?" I said, "Yeah." "Winnie the Pooh would like to meet you." And I said, "Okay, but he's not allowed to speak. It's against the rules. He can't talk. He can't talk through his mask or anything, but could he come over to your table?" And so he came over to the table. My nephews were there, and he put his hands on his heart. He put his hands on his nose. He put his hands on my nephews, and they got an autograph from him. And it was, you know, I could talk, but he couldn't talk back. And my nephews, I was a hero to my nephews. So Winnie the Pooh came over to our table, you know, to say hi. So a moment like that for an NBA player could. But you, Mike, seriously, and Bob, you're right. There's no fatigue of travel. There's no back and forth. There's not any of that. You just get up, you play a game of basketball, and you go back to your room. It's going to be so different than anything we have ever seen or covered before or again. It'll never happen again. There's a lot of factors that we don't know about.
When it's all said and done, the following question will be asked. The issue will be, do we acknowledge the champion as a true champion? Or are they forever more the asterisk champions?
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't
you? Well, I will.
Bob. They will.
I mean, they
played a 50-game season, Bob.
Yeah,
they
right.
did when they played a 50-game season. And I'll just leave it here for today because, first of all, for all the things we're talking about, we can't wait to see it, okay? Once they start, I'll reiterate what I said before. Once they start keeping score, then this you-know-what will get real. and it's going to be different. It's going to be odd. We are going to hear the squeak of the sneakers, which frankly annoys me. But it's, yeah, it's there. It will be a real champion.
Oh, I love that, Mike. No, I love that. I will look forward to that. And the squeak and the bounce of the ball and all that. No, I will. I mean, it's going to, I'm so.
We'll, and I guess we don't have any West Coast games anymore, right? So what does that mean? Are they going to deliberately start games at 10 o'clock at night just so that the West Coast audience
yet
can
another
see
issue that, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, Mike, Mitch, that's good. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they're all in Orlando.
Don't know how they're going to do that. They have to make an accommodation to California.
And the fact that this doesn't start, though, for another 6 weeks. it doesn't even start for six more weeks. I don't know how long we can take talking about it without it starting, but that's what we do in the COVID summer.
That's
so
what we do now.
We thank you for joining us for this edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday, so we'll be back in a few days. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment, leave us a rating. We always welcome all of those. You can get this podcast on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Pandora and any of the popular places you get podcasts. Until we see you again in a few days on Thursday, on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom saying have a good week.